Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to All Exits Closed. My guest today is Alan Collins, and he is here to talk about the candidacy for president of Bernie Sanders. So, Alan, when you first heard that Bernie was running, and he really didn't mention the student loan debt crisis at all, you know, in his opening days, what was your reaction?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. Last presidential election, Bernie had a very strong populist message. However, when it came to the student loan problem, he and so forth on the Democratic side. Fortunately, their campaigns were really lacking in any real meaningful solutions for the student loan problem. Now, I don't know how knowledgeable your guests are, but they should. Student loans are the only one in our nation's history to be specifically of bankruptcy protection, of statutes of limitations, of fair debt collection practices, truth in lending laws, even state usury laws have been taken away from student loans. But those first two that I mentioned, the bankruptcy rights and statute of limitations, are extremely important. And particularly bankruptcy, you know, this is a right that was given to us by the founders of the country, and they placed it ahead of the right to declare, or the power to declare war, the power to raise an army, the power to raise coin currency in the Constitution. So the founders felt the bankruptcy rights were extremely important, and this is what's been taken away from student loans. And it is the absence of these consumer protections that has led to the astonishing rise in the price of college and the uniquely and viciously predatory nature of student loans. And all the Democrats last time around were very disappointing in that they tiptoed right around this issue. And unfortunately, I'm not hearing anything good from the current cast of characters on the Democratic side in the presidential campaign. And unfortunately, Bernie Sanders, I have to include in that bunch. You know, last time around, Bernie was very loud and proud about standing up and calling for bankruptcy rights for the territory of Puerto Rico. Still are in trouble, by the way. And so that was great, but then when it came to student loans, he really kind of went quiet. And so what we saw last time around were the calls for debt-free college, tuition-free college. And these all applied primarily to public colleges. And you know, that's great. I don't in principle have anything against free college, although that is kind of expensive. But even having said that, you know, people who have not yet been to college are typically, they do not vote. And so politically, I think this is kind of unwise, but as a practical matter, you know, the real problem in the room is the $1.789 trillion that is outstanding in predatory student loan debt right now. You know, this is really affecting 50 million people, something like 35 million of whom are losing sleep at night. You know, they're either in default on their loans, they're delinquent, they're not able to pay their balances down. So, you know, and these people vote. And so it's not only sort of the height of ignoring the problem, ignorance, politically, it's just kind of stupid to be proposing solutions to the problem that the next generation of voters is going to face. But politically, that's just doesn't make any sense to me. And so I am just constantly baffled and amazed at the lack of on the part of Democrats. We're going to be heading to Iowa here in the next week or so and trying to really light a fire under the candidates. But up to this point, it seems like it's just one big whitewash.
you know, they're all of the Democratic candidates that have been their candidacy, and none of them, including Bernie Sanders, has even mentioned doing something about the student loan debt crisis, with over 44 million people who have student loan debts. I can't understand why they're all so, like, quiet over this. What's your opinion?
Well, you're absolutely right, and I'm sitting here just baffled how they could try and throw 50 million people. You know, there's 44 million people with student loans, but if you count people who are co-signed on loans, it puts us well over 50 million people. And I just don't understand what they could possibly be thinking, that they can ignore this issue and throw this problem under the rug and let these 50-plus million people be run over by the bus. It just makes absolutely no sense to me. Now, one thing I can say that bodes well for Bernie Sanders, that the Sanders Institute, institute in his name, recently released a report that looked at the economic stimulus that would result if all loans were canceled, if all student loans, I should say, were canceled. And I mean, it was quite striking. I want to say it predicted something like $57 billion per year economic stimulus. The fact of the matter is the economic stimulus would be far greater than that. I mean, interest alone on our student debt portfolio is about $100 billion. And if you include the amount of increased borrowing capacity that would result by forgiving all student loans, canceling all student loan debt, the economic stimulus becomes far more even still than that. So my estimate is that we would see something like $130 or so billion dollars a year in economic stimulus. And so that was, and you know, I kind of thought that when he did run and announce, which he did just yesterday, that he would put a meaningful debt cancellation package in front of the voters. It's really kind of the twilight zone. It's just baffling to me. And, you know, we look at Kamala Harris, who's calling for, again, debt-free college, and I think a couple of the other candidates who have announced up to this point are calling about tuition-free college, debt-free college. But, again, all of these programs do nothing for the 50-plus million people who have already been through college, already have the viciously predatory debt to show for it. You know, in my view, this is really a no-brainer. You know, at a minimum, the standard bankruptcy rights that the founding fathers called for, ahead of the power to declare war, ahead of the power to raise an army, etc., has got to be returned. It's only then we can have any confidence in the lending system to abuse the borrowers, which is rampantly today. Only with bankruptcy protection back in place can we expect the various forgiveness programs that are already in place to actually work. You know, right now, the vast majority, over 99% of the people in public service loan forgiveness are being kicked out. And similarly, over 90% of the people with income-based repayment programs are being disqualified from the programs, because the Department of Education has no desire or intentions of canceling anybody's loans under these programs. But with bankruptcy rights back in place, I think we would see something like the converse of that. So in other words, with bankruptcy protections in place, we'd probably see around 80 or 90% of the people trying for these various forgiveness programs actually make it through. So this really does come down to bankruptcy rights, and I can only hope that people like Bernie Sanders will step up and call it for what it is, because right now the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are so out of touch with reality on the student loan issue. It's just mind-boggling.
You know, you and I have talked about people who are suffering because of this, the people who owe money. But what about, like, real estate people who sell cars, big ticket items, they're hurting, but yet they don't speak up either.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And we are now seeing some significant macroeconomic impacts on our national economy. People like Jamie Dimon, head of J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, William Dudley, the chairman of the New York, the president of the New York Federal Reserve, and even Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, have come out and publicly said, hey, whoa, guys, this student loan thing is really impacting people's ability to buy homes, to buy cars, to start businesses, and it's not negligible. It is significant. And so only now we're starting to see people in various other commercial sectors step up and publicly decry this problem. And, you know, I can only hope that the course will grow in volume because, like I said, the interest alone on this student loan debt is over $100 billion per year. And, you know, that is a not insignificant chunk of change. And that can do a lot to spur the economy. And, you know, particularly younger people who are in their, say, 20s, early 30s, they are being inordinately impacted. You know, back in 2004, for example, let's say around the year 2000, the average college borrower was borrowing $10,000 or so. Well, today, the average borrower, and that's two-thirds of all college students, are leaving school with close to $40,000 in loans. And so it really is the younger generation, what you call millennials or what you call them these days, but they really are feeling the brunt of this hyperinflated and predatory lending system. And I can only hope that they will open their eyes sooner rather than later and realize that this is a lending system problem. This is not a bad borrower problem. This is a lending system problem. And the adults in the room, so people, I would say Congress, the banks, the Federal Reserve, maybe even the Supreme Court, and certainly bankruptcy judges across the country need to step up and realize that this is just wrong on every level, going down to the fundamental constitutional rights that were imbued, bestowed upon us by the founders. Are in great jeopardy if this predatory lending system is allowed to continue.
Now, you've been very outspoken, and you've dedicated your life to this issue. Are there any journalists who have written about this that have made any kind of significant impact on the problem?
Well, there's been a few. Unfortunately, I can say that the mainstream media, has become very tame and weak and sort of beholden to the corporations and the banks and the other people that fund their operations, particularly since the home mortgage crisis in 2008. But having said that, there are a few pretty good reporters out there. They are very few and far between. So people like Matt Taibbi, people like Maureen Kukasik, who writes for Reuters and other places, people like Alexander Zaitchik, and currently people like Annie Nova, who writes for CNBC, they're doing pretty good work. But, you know, for every one good reporter that I can point to, and there's like literally about five, there are, you know, 20 or 30 sort of mouthpiece media reporters who take whatever the banks say, take whatever the swamp says, and, you know, repeat it as if it's the gold standard. And, you know, this is really painful. It's painful to watch. And it's really sad to see the public being just so badly whitewashed by weak, I would say maybe even corrupted media these days.
Now, from your understanding, you know, you travel around the country. Have you seen any possible congressional candidates who have Well, it's still, maybe it's a little too early, or even in the last cycle, besides AOC, who have espoused, you know, talking about this issue.
Well, that's a great question, actually. I don't want to sound too doomy and gloomy. It's a terrible problem, there's no doubt, but there are some rays of hope. So as you mentioned, Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez.
Ocasio-Cortez, yes. She was calling for the cancellation of all student loan debt as a part of her congressional platform when she ran for office. And, politically, that's an impossibility at this point. Getting bankruptcy rights back is hard enough. Getting all student loan debt canceled is just, at this point, it's just a fantasy. But I will say there is a guy, for example, John Delaney. So he's a former Maryland congressman. He quit the Congress to run for president. And in fact, he was the very first person to announce a run for the presidency shortly after Donald Trump was put into office. John Delaney, in fact, introduced legislation not only last session, but the session before that, that very elegantly and very simply returns standard bankruptcy rights to student loans. And
okay. So
I'm very buoyed by that. I'm getting a little nervous about Delaney in that I haven't heard him say anything publicly about student loans and bankruptcy since he announced his run for the presidency. But, he's a pretty understated guy. He doesn't do things with a big whole bunch of fanfare. You know, he doesn't call a press conference every time he does anything. And so I've got some quiet, reserved optimism for Mr. Delaney. So we shall see how his campaign goes. I think he's going to surprise some people. I think he's doing a lot of the right things in Iowa and New Hampshire, and I think he may have a far stronger showing than people, certainly in the mainstream media, give him credit for. There's also Elizabeth Warren, who taught bankruptcy law at Harvard University for many years. Then Professor Warren and I were featured in the same segment of 60 Minutes back in 2006, and she nailed this problem to the wall. You know, she was great back then, and she is now running. And unfortunately, we haven't seen anything good from her as a senator on this issue. But I can only hope and expect that she will make the return of bankruptcy rights student loans at a minimum of campaign. But we'll see. We've been disappointed in the past. I can only hope that Elizabeth Warren will dance with who brought her to the national stage. You know, that 60 Minutes episode really was her first entree into the national spotlight. And so I can only hope that she dances with who brought her.
So as of right now, you're waiting for all of the Democratic declared candidates to talk about the student loan debt crisis. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We have yet to hear anything meaningful from any of them, including John Delaney and Elizabeth Warren. So that's a little troubling. But it's very early. You know, this is the election cycle keeps getting pushed further and further into forward, and so we've got a long time before these campaigns really get heated, and so I personally am probably going to be spending some time in Iowa over the next months and years, and trying to do what I can to make this a top tier issue, and I think it will be. 50 million voters is nearly enough to elect a president on its own. And,
right.
We have over 50 million people with student loans. I can't imagine that they won't have anything meaningful. But that's what we're fighting for. And hopefully one or more of the candidates will come around.
So when do you expect to be in Iowa?
Sometime in March, certainly. And we're gonna play it by ear. We're pretty flexible. We'll go where the wind blows us, as is appropriate, but I'm expecting that we'll be spending a significant amount of time in and around and through Iowa and perhaps also New Hampshire as well.
Okay.
And I should also say, Cynthia, for your listeners out there, we have a great bill in Congress right now, H.R. 770. And this bill is sponsored by a Republican, John Katko, in the House of Representatives. It's a great bill. It simply deletes the one line of code that makes student loans treated differently from all other loans in bankruptcy proceedings. And so I have to take my hats off, a big salute to John Katko, the Republican from New York, who sponsored this bill. This really could be a turn of legislation if the other Republicans in the House will only join him and see this issue for what it is. It's really a stand against big government and the type of tyranny that the most conservative of our founders way back in the day were fighting against. This is truly true. So I'm very hopeful that some Republicans will come around to see me.
So with my podcast, All Exits Closed, I hope as the campaign for the presidency goes on, you know, I'd like to talk with you and other people to kind of just make people know exactly what's going on and what they can do about it. So I'll contact you in March, Alan, and then maybe
okay.
We could do a show from Iowa. And maybe if you
sure.
go up to New Hampshire, we could do a show from New Hampshire. But
yeah.
tell people a little bit about student loan debt, student loan justice.
Sure. Yeah, we've been around since March 2005. I recognized many years ago that something was deeply wrong with the student loan system. And I realized pretty early on also that it really came down to the unprecedented removal of consumer protections like bankruptcy and statute of limitations. So we've been on 60 Minutes Top Story. We've been featured on NPR and PBS and all the major news shows. And we've written stuff in the New York Times and the Boston Globe and Los Angeles Times, all the big newspapers. We are fighting very simply for either the return of bankruptcy rights or possibly even the cancellation of all student loan debt. As this problem gets worse and worse, the latter seems to be probably the most appropriate solution to this problem than the former. But currently, we're pushing very moderately for the return of the bankruptcy rights that the Founding Fathers demanded ahead of many other very important powers in the Constitution. And I would urge anybody out there with student loans or co-signed on student loans or maybe even with a family member who is being burdened, and about 65% of all student loan borrowers are losing sleep over their loans, by the way. I would just urge those people to come to our website, studentloanjustice.org, and help us fight, because this is a tough battle, and there's a lot of entrenched interests in Washington, D.C. that we call sort of swamp people, the unelected bureaucrats and lobbyists and lawyers and so forth, who are making such obscene amounts of money out of this predatory lending system. You know, these people are strong, and we need to fight against them. The battle easily won, but only when people with student loans stand up and fight this fight with us. We can only win, but we certainly have to fight. This is not a watch it happen movement. This is a make it happen struggle.
And you have Facebook pages, right?
Yes, we do. Yes, we've got a Facebook group, and we also have state chapter groups for every state in the union, and also a chapter for expatriates. So people who have left the country, often as a result of their student loans. And we have great legislation to fight for right now. And I'm frankly very hopeful that we this year, so hopefully before even the next presidential election, we could get this problem solved. But it depends almost entirely on the citizens out there who are impacted by this problem joining up and, you know, helping us fight this fight. It's not glamorous, it's not pretty, but it's absolutely critical to the 50 million people out there whose lives lives or certainly livelihoods depend on this problem getting solved. So I would urge everybody out there to come to studentloanjustice.org, join us on Facebook, and let's get this thing done.
Great, Alan. We'll talk again in a few weeks. So you have been listening to Alan Collins, the founder of studentloanjustice.org. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, All Exits Closed. Alan, thank you so much. Have a great day, and have a great day, everybody. Thank you.